Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Joining us now on the Meijer Supercenter guest line, the play-by-play voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, Greg Sharp. Greg, my friend, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us. How are you? How's life? How are things?
Great to be here. Sure would like to have a few more wins in the win column for the Huskers, but it is what it is, and you move on from here.
That's right. Our opponent preview here, Michigan State and Nebraska, taking place. Fox Sports 1 has the broadcast tomorrow night in East Lansing, 7 o'clock kickoff. And your Cornhuskers team is one of the few that's already played four games. They opened up the season on the road against Illinois, a 30-22 loss, and then they win two straight, including the Buffalo Bulls. And then, you know, last week on the road against Oklahoma, 23-16. Obviously, with the opponents there kind of sandwiched in the middle, Fordham and Buffalo, those games, you know, Nebraska, you would assume would have the talent to be able to dominate in those contests. When you look to week one against Illinois, then to last week against Oklahoma, are you seeing improvement in this Huskers team?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think Nebraska's gotten better in the first four games, which you certainly would hope that's the case. It was a very disappointing game at Illinois. Nebraska had a couple of key turnovers. They missed 2 point after tries. The kicking game has been an issue for this team through the first four games, and it reared its head again in Norman last week, where they had a point after attempt blocked and returned for 2 points for OU. They missed a short field goal. And, it was a disappointed team that left Owen Field in Norman last week. They really felt like they should have pulled off the big upset against the Sooners. And so the recovery period will be interesting. How do they bounce back from that game? But to your initial point, yes, I think this team has made some nice progress. Buffalo's not a bad football team at all. Played for the MAC title a year ago, and Nebraska roughed them up pretty good in that game. And so that was a good sign. And then to continue it and play so well in Norman last week against a top five team was encouraging.
Yeah, and I'm always, you know, because we have five MAC teams within our coverage area here, Greg, across the state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio as well. A lot of respect for the MAC, and at the end of the day, those are scholarship athletes as well, and they're going to go out there and they want to pull off the upset and beat a Power 5 team as bad as anyone. That game in Norman not only cost Nebraska a loss in the win-loss column, but also Gabe Irvin Jr. now out indefinitely, potentially for the season, as he was injured in the third quarter against Oklahoma. And this was one of those situations where he takes a handoff, he's untouched, you know, he goes down at the line of scrimmage and grabs a knee, and it's immediate. You know, anybody who watches football knows non-contact injuries tend to usually be the worst. What about his status that could be known, if not for this week, for the rest of the season, and how does that affect what the Huskers are going to try to do offensively?
Yeah, he's out for the year. He had surgery a couple days ago, so it was a torn ACL, so now he'll be into that process. The good news for Nebraska, that's a spot where there wasn't much separation between the top four guys. He didn't start the Oklahoma game. He came in and backup for Amir Johnson, started that game. Marquise Stepp, who is a transfer from USC, started a couple weeks ago against Buffalo. So they've rotated those back. So you hate to see a guy go down, but it's a spot where Nebraska feels like they have adequate players that they'll be able to move forward without Irvin. But they're certainly excited about him. He was a true freshman that came in and was the starter in week one against Illinois and was doing some nice things. So you hate to see a guy go down, but hey, that's football. Everybody's got injuries at this point in time in the season. Even if you've only played three games like the Spartans have, you still have some guys with a lot of deep thigh bruises and those type of things.
Yeah, it's a game of attrition, right? The healthiest team out there usually has the best opportunity. Is it just me, or does it feel like Adrian Martinez has been the quarterback in Nebraska now for like a decade? I know it hasn't been that long, but I don't know why it feels that way, but he's already crossed the 1,000-yard mark in four games, five touchdowns, one interception for Martinez. Evaluate his play for us.
Playing really well. Fourth year as a starter at Nebraska. Started as a true freshman. And one of the big questions here coming up for Nebraska, will he come back next year? Because he can take advantage of the rule from the NCAA to really kind of dismiss last year as a real season anyway. But he's playing very, very well. The only interception he's thrown was, it was a fourth down play in Norman, and it was fourth and about 14 in near the red zone, and you might as well throw it down there. And he threw it toward the end zone and got picked off. So it was kind of a Hail Mary pick, but playing very well. He made a key mistake at Illinois, had a fumble. It was picked up and returned for a touchdown by Illinois right before halftime that swung momentum in that game. But on the whole, he's done a very, very nice job. And I think part of the reason people, you know, think about Adrian as being around forever is because he has the last name of Martinez. And we had a quarterback named Tater Martinez for 4 years as a starter for Nebraska, a couple of years before Adrian got here. So Martinez has been Nebraska's quarterback for eight of the last 11 seasons of Husker football.
So it does make sense. I knew I wasn't absolutely crazy. And I just mentioned Adrian's passing statistics. He's also the leader in rush yards, and he can get out with the football in his hands. And the guy's a playmaker. He's got four touchdowns on the ground to go ahead with 290 yards. So for a fan in East Lansing or wherever they're at in the state of Michigan, rooting for the green and white this coming weekend, I guess, how would you kind of present what Nebraska wants to do offensively against Michigan State?
Well, it all runs through Adrian. I mean, because of his ability to hurt teams with his legs, you'll see some option look out of Nebraska. You'll see a lot of RPOs out of Nebraska because of his talents and his ability. Where he's really picked it up, I think, is the ability to push the ball downfield in the passing game. Nebraska's been getting a lot more bigger plays in the passing game in this first four games of this season than they did at all the eight games that they played in 2020. And they're getting some wide receivers who have the ability to stretch the defense a little bit more. And so I think that's what you look for. But it all starts with two. Adrian's the guy. I mean, because of his ability to run, that everything kind of plays off of that. And I'm sure that's what, as Michigan State has dove into prep for this, they know that's where it starts with Nebraska, is with the quarterback.
You know, back to some of the scores from this season. You give up 30 to Illinois, but you bounce right back. In the next two games, you only surrender 10 points in total, and then 23 to a top five program, like you mentioned, in Oklahoma. Defensively, what does Nebraska feature defensively that Michigan State's offense should be concerned about?
They're just pretty sound. They keep things in front of them. That Oklahoma offense is so explosive, and to hold them to 23 points. It was the first time OU had not scored at least 24 points in a game in 5 years. So to keep them to 23, and two of those were the block PAT that was returned. So the defense held Oklahoma to 21 in that game. And then you even go back to the Illinois game where they put 30 on the board. There was a scoop and score by their defense. So that didn't go against Nebraska's. It's a really sound group. It's a veteran group. Nebraska had six players take advantage of the NCAA rule to kind of wipe out 2020, and they're on the defensive side of the ball. So it's an experienced group. I think that the one knock about them is they've not forced many turnovers in the first four games. But last week, Oklahoma was the first team in the last eight that Nebraska had played that got over 400 yards of offense. So they've just done, and Oklahoma got 408, so they barely got over 400 yards. So they're just a pretty stout group that keeps a lot of things in front of them and has eliminated, to this point in the season anyway, the big plays.
You know, Greg, because there's obviously the obvious connection with, you know, Scott Frost to the program, we kind of have the same thing going on here in the state of Michigan with Jim Harbaugh. How would you evaluate or grade, you know, Scott Frost, you know, to this point in his career as the head coach of Nebraska?
It's been slower than I think people thought that it would take. And I think there's some real similarities between Coach Harbaugh and Coach Frost, is that they inherited pretty messy situations. You know, a lot of depleted areas of the football team. The strength and conditioning had fallen way off under the previous staff, and I think it's taken them a while to get built up with this. I think the COVID year, you know, particularly in Scott Frost, would have been year three, which is usually kind of a pivotal year. The start and stop of the Big Ten, that didn't help. And then the way the Big Ten structured it, Nebraska opened with Ohio State without a chance to really get off to a good start. So I think people know that it was a big rebuild. I think they see progress. I think last week's game gave a lot of people hope, because to go toe-to-toe with Oklahoma and really kind of walk away feeling like you should have won the game is a nice step forward. So I think they're willing to be patient with Scott, but they also want to see progress. And that's why last week, I think, bolstered a lot of people's feelings about him and the program because of the way they played against Oklahoma. But they got to follow that up with another good effort against another really good team here on Saturday in Michigan State.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's always, you know, because it's Nebraska and the move to the Big Ten, and, you know, Big Ten fans still getting kind of, you know, kind of used to Nebraska being in the conference, even though it's been years. And then, of course, the ties there in the mid-90s between Michigan and Nebraska. Just, you know, it seems like one of those situations where, you know, Scott Frost, you hope that, especially with the success that he had in his previous stop, you hope that he would, you know, kind of return Nebraska back to the glory days, if you will. And I think even as an outsider myself, I kind of still hope for the same for Nebraska.
You know, there's a lot of teams, there's a couple programs in the country in college football right now that are really in the same boat, and I call them kind of the 90s boys. And it's Florida State, Tennessee, and Nebraska. And maybe even you can throw Michigan maybe into that hat. Two teams that were so dominant in the decade of the 90s and just are having a hard time kind of finding their way. Now, the Wolverines are off to a fantastic start and look like they may be ready to take that next step and maybe win an East Division title for the first time. So maybe they're out of that. But, boy, the other three have just kind of floundered around here for the last 7-8 years. And I think college football is better when Florida State's really good or Tennessee and Nebraska is really good. So that's kind of the aim, is to get this going. But, you know, I think Nebraska, and there is a new AD here in Trev Alberts who played for the Huskers. He took the job in July. He's certainly watching this program. But I also think he knows that you can't just keep spinning the wheel and changing coaches. You got to give somebody a chance to really kind of establish their footing and get going.
No doubt about it. Greg Sharp, play-by-play voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers for our opponent preview. Nebraska and Michigan State tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on FS1. Greg, my friend, thank you so much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.
You bet. Enjoyed it.